The Exter's attire was a combination of military practicality and feminine delicacy. There was a bronze breastplate, and over it a loose-patterned blue robe, a kirtle of scales and a pale yellow sash tied about the waist, shoulder pauldrons with long pegs from which little fealty pennons hung, and a muslin scarf wound about the head, and, at the waist, a long dagger in a plain scabbard. Once she had settled on her preferences, she only had to walk forward and through the mirror to emerge on a sunlit colonnaded arcade overlooking the River Tiber. Rome was a hazy, smoky cityscape spread out beneath a mid-morning sun. The river was busy with vessels, single and double-funneled galleys, steaming up to the docks or down to the sea. Rome was a hazy, smoky cityscape spread out beneath a mid-morning sun. The river was busy with vessels, single and double-funneled galleys streaming up to the docks or down to the sea. Tugs hauled lines of covered barges to and fro across river-spanning viaducts, while bulbous dirigibles flew overhead, trailing smoke and steam.
"Quite a view, eh?"
Harry joined her at the stone balcony. He had on a mixture of battered grey armour and red-stained leathers, with the symbol of a black wolf clearly visible. He wore a long sword at the waist and carried a large satchel on his shoulder. He gave a flourishing bow.
"Quintus Cornelius Viviano, Centurio Evocati of the 63rd Legion at your service, lady."
"Pleased to make your acquaintance. Apparently I am Placidia Mercius, prater and trader in fine wines. So here we are. Or rather, here we still are."
She frowned.
"When should we
return to the glow and try to reach the representatives ourselves?"
Harry shook his head.
"I may be a cunning AI with friends in low places, but in this place I wouldn't know where to start."
"But time is not on our side," she said. "If this Nicodemus doesn't show up, we may have no choice."
Harry arched an eyebrow.
"Well, if it does come to that, there is at least a sizable amount in that account."
A crash and a rumble from somewhere close interrupted him. Leaning forward on the low balcony, Julia looked down 10 floors to a cobbled street lined with small shops and odd kiosks on stilts. A steam-powered wagon had collided with the corner of the 2-story building opposite and tipped over, spilling its cargo of oranges across the street. A shop front was demolished, and a stilted kiosk had also been knocked over. Some traders were arguing with the driver and his 2 loaders, and, before long, harsh words led to shoving and thrown punches. But before things got out of hand, several men in dark green cloaks and leather armour arrived and pulled the antagonists apart. They were armed with cudgels that were waved about or ostentatiously rested on shoulders.
"The Vigiles Urbani," Harry said. "City police, basically."
As she watched, Julia heard an odd metallic creak behind her, like hinges. When she glanced round, she was stunned to see a skinny man in a long, grubby coat and wearing antique-style goggles emerging from a trap door in the floor of the arcade. For a moment, they stared open-mouthed at each other, and he seemed about to smile and beckon to her when a red light started flashing on his wrist.